Well, greetings, my friends, in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is your voice of the gospel, Speaker Minor Hawk, before the microphone again, with the Word of God in my hand and a love for sinners in my heart. Well, friends, here we are with another day of grace, and still another opportunity to preach the gospel of the grace of God. Friends, I believe that there are some of you listening in today, and you never miss a broadcast. You listen time after time, and yet you know down deep in your heart that there's something wrong. You've never been saved or born again. Yes, the Holy Spirit of God has been convicting you of your sin and your need for Jesus Christ many, many times, but you're still unsaved. Well, tell me, friend, what are you waiting on? Are you expecting a feeling to give you assurance of salvation? If you are, you'll get the feeling all right, but it'll be when you drop into the flames of hell. Perhaps you're waiting for a vision or a dream, or maybe you're waiting for an earthquake like the jailer over in Acts chapter 16. Well, friends, I don't know what's keeping you from Jesus Christ, but one of these days you're going to procrastinate once too often, and off you'll go down to a Christless grave and into hell with all of its pain and torment. You know, throughout the Word of God, we read that salvation is a present gift of God. It's not promised to you for tomorrow, but today. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 we read, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And God declares in Isaiah 1 and verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And then again I think of what we're told in Job 22 and verse 21. Listen to this. This is God speaking to you. In the words of Job chapter 22 and verse 21, "Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace." And friends, remember this. There are thousands of souls in hell today who woke this morning in perfect health. They too didn't expect to die today. They too thought that they had plenty of time. And yet we're told in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." With this solemn thought in mind, let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy Son. We thank thee, our God, for the access we have to thy throne of grace. And Father, our desire is to see souls saved, so we ask thy blessing upon thy word about to be read and spoken from today. Honor afresh thy Son and thy word by saving souls. We'll be careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, friends, before getting into the gospel message today, let's listen to a lovely old tune familiar, I'm sure, to most of you listening in, and it's entitled, "He Hideth My Soul."
My soul in the cleft of
Those of you who care to follow me in the Scriptures, I'll be reading from the New Testament, Gospel by Mark, chapter 2. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And again he, meaning Jesus Christ, entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, here in the beginning of Mark chapter 2, we read of a most significant incident in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God here records the miraculous healing of a man who was very ill with the dread disease called palsy. And today I'd like to draw for you a verbal picture or an analogy between this incident here in Mark chapter 2 and the unredeemed sinner listening in today. First of all, my friends, we noticed that there was a large crowd who had followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was without the present-day publicity departments, newspaper ads, and television commercials. Yes, everywhere the Lord Jesus Christ went, there were huge crowds that followed him, seeking a blessing. You know, it's too bad that people today aren't as anxious to seek and follow the Lord. Now, regardless of where I go, yes, people today all over the world are the same. They have time for sports and politics and education, television, and even religion, but friends, they have little to say about the Lord Jesus Christ, except to spew his blessed name from their filthy lips. The late Will Rogers once said that if the Lord Jesus Christ should come back to earth again, he wouldn't live 33 hours, far less 33 years. The people would crucify him again. You know, friends, I believe there's some truth in that statement. Because people today have no time for discussing the claims of Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinful men. Now getting back to Mark chapter 2, we notice in verse 2 that the Lord Jesus Christ was in a home filled with people, and he was preaching the word unto them. And friends, that's what we need more of today. We need faithful ministers of God who will face the multitudes and preach the word unto them. Not a watered-down gospel. Not a sugar-coated word of exhortation either. Listen, the American people don't like to hear the truth of God's word. They'd rather listen to some philosophical lecture on morals and ethics or some diabolical doctrine such as the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Yes, people today have no time for the pure, unadulterated, and uncompromising word of Almighty God. Now, friends, that brings to my mind the scriptures we read over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 2. Listen to this word of exhortation given by the Apostle Paul to his son in the faith, Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but shall, after their own lust, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, my friends, these are days when people only listen to what they want to hear. They don't like to be told that the entire Bible is the infallible Word of God. They don't like to be told that they're lost and rebel sinners in the sight of a holy God. They don't like to be told that there's a burning hell awaiting every Christ rejecter. No, and they don't like to be told that they must be born again if they ever expect to enter the kingdom of God. They'd rather be told that church membership and religious ritual will take them into God's heaven. They like to be told that mankind is inherently good, and God would never cast a creature of his into a lake of fire. Yes, they'd rather be told that regardless of how they live before God, that there's an eternity of bliss awaiting them when they die. Well, friends, wishful thinking does not alter the truth of God's Word. And sinner friend, you can hide your head in the sands of unbelief, but if you die without having acknowledged your sinnership in God's sight, without having trusted in the finished work of His Son, Jesus Christ at Calvary, well, friend, the Word of God, not I, but the Word of God which cannot lie, says you'll spend all eternity in the place that Jesus Christ called hell. Then you'd wish you had listened to God instead of to man. But it'll be too late then. Your doom will be sealed, and there'll be no escape from the wrath of God. Over in Job chapter 36 and verse 18 we read, "Because there is wrath, beware, lest he takes thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee." Yes, friends, here in Mark chapter 2, the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching the word unto them. And Paul tells us in Romans 10 and 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, friends, in the third verse of Mark chapter 2, we read that a man who had palsy is brought on a stretcher to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the first place, I want you to see this man's condition. He was helpless, hopeless, and unable to do anything for himself. And, friends, that's the way it is with the unsaved sinner listening in today. Whether you realize it or not, you're helpless and hopeless, and you're without God and without Christ. Sinner friend, you can't do a thing to help your lost spiritual condition. No, you can't do a thing to save your own soul. In Titus 3 and verse 5 we read that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy that we're saved. Again, in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 God says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast." Friend, listen. If you could do anything to improve your lost and helpless condition, if you could do anything to save your own soul, then tell me, why did the Lord Jesus Christ die on the cross at Calvary? Why did the just one die for you and I, the unjust, if our relationship with God could be restored in any other way? Yes, and tell me, friend. Why did the holy, harmless Son of God become sin for you and I if we could merit the salvation of God? No, the Lord Jesus Christ had to die if we are to live. He had to be our sin-bearer if we are to escape the judgment of God because of our sin. And He had to completely satisfy the claims of a righteous God against sin if we are to escape the eternal wrath of God. Now, friends, it's important to remember that a person cannot be saved until they realize that they're a lost sinner. Because, after all, only helpless, hopeless, and lost sinners can be saved. In fact, they're the only ones for whom the Lord Jesus Christ has died. In Luke 19 and 10, He Himself said that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And over in Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus Christ declares, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15 that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, friend, the next thing I want you to notice is the fact that this hopeless and helpless creature was borne on a stretcher by four friends. This shows us the love and care these four people had for their sick friend. And these four men knew where to take their helpless friend to. They took him to the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you Christians listening in today have such loving care and concern for your relatives and neighbors who are outside of Christ. I wonder how often you've been concerned enough to try to lead them to Christ. You know, it's one thing to hand a sinner a gospel tract, and it's another thing to talk to them and seek to lead them to the one who can save their soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these four men in Mark chapter 2 carried the palsied man to where the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching. Christian friend, have you ever invited a helpless sinner to go to a gospel meeting where they could hear the words of Christ? Maybe that's the reason so many Christians aren't leading victorious lives today. They're despondent and they're discouraged, and always seem to be in a state of anxiety. Friend, get out and witness and testify for your Lord. Go down to the local shopping center and pass out gospel tracts. Yes, go visit your unsaved friends and plead with them to go with you to a gospel meeting. You do that, my friend, then write and tell me how the Lord has blessed your soul. Now here in verse 4, we notice that the four friends were prevented from bringing the palsied man to Christ because of the press or the crowd. This, I believe, brings before us the opposition we can expect to encounter when we try to lead a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. This opposition will appear in the form of sarcastic relatives and mocking friends, or religious hypocrites who themselves are outside of Christ. But you'll notice, my friends, that the opposition did not prevent these four men from bringing their friend to the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in verse 4, we read that they were so determined to have their palsied friend receive the blessing of the Lord that they went up to the roof of the house, and they removed it from the top of the house. Now that's what I call determination. That's perseverance. Yes, and they had the faith to believe that if they could only bring their friend to the Lord Jesus Christ, that the disease would be eradicated and their friend would be healed. Yes, their faith was great. And this sick man must have had a lot of faith too, or he'd never have had his friends go so far as they did. You know, that's the trouble with sinners these days. They're not concerned about their condition. No, they're not thirsty enough to come to the fountain of living water, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, sinner friend, you'll never be saved till you want to be saved more than anything else in the world. In John chapter 7 and verse 37, the Lord Jesus Christ declares, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Again in Revelation 22 and verse 17, we read these words from Jesus Christ himself. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Yes, thank God, salvation is for whosoever will. And according to Isaiah 55 and 1, it's without money and without price. You know, friends, Nicodemus never got saved till he was thirsty. Zacchaeus never got saved till he was thirsty. The Philippian jailer never got saved till he was thirsty and cried out from the depths of his heart and soul, what must I do to be saved? Now in verse 5 we read, and when Jesus saw their faith, whose faith? The faith of all five of them. Yes, he honored the faith of the four stretcher bearers, and he honored the faith of the palsied man too. And so it is with salvation. I honestly believe that God honors the faith of those who seek to bring sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now don't misunderstand me. I said don't misunderstand me. Because a sinner is not saved simply because his Christian friends and relatives have been praying for him, oh no. And even though they've been witnessing for him too. But I firmly believe that the Holy Spirit of God will strive longer with a sinner when God's people bear that sinner up before the throne of grace. Yes, many a sinner would be cut down if it were not for the pleas and prayers and petitions of God's people on their behalf. And I furthermore believe that God's word makes it quite clear in Isaiah 55 and 11 that his word shall not return void. And I'm sure that there are many Christians listening in today who can attest to the truth of that scripture. God's word shall not return void. That's a promise, Christian friend. That's the reason we have to tell the unsaved about the unsearchable riches found in Jesus Christ alone. But friend, remember this, you who are unsaved. The faith of your Christian friends or relatives will never save your soul. Their faith may stay the hand of God's wrath and thus allow more time for the Holy Spirit of God to deal with your soul. But sinner friend, never make the mistake of believing that their faith will save your soul. Oh no. Salvation is a personal matter. And you, as an individual sinner, must repent of your sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Now in verse 5, we see the result of faith, and that is forgiveness of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ said to the hopeless man with a palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee. Sinner friend, would you like to be saved today? Would you like to have your sins forgiven? Well, if so, then listen to the Word of God. In Isaiah 1 and verse 18 we read, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In 1 John 1:7, we read that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Yes, whether you're a big sinner or a little sinner, whether you're white or colored, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can cleanse you from all sin. But friend, you must do what the palsied man did. You must come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And friend, He also gives the assurance in John 6:37, that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. But my friend, I want you to know that time is running out. Yes, we read in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Again in Proverbs 29:1, God says, "He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." So friend, right now, whoever you are and wherever you may be, acknowledge that it was your sins that nailed the Son of God to Calvary's cross. Yes, repent of your sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, according to God, who cannot lie, if you'll do that right now, you'll be born again. You'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in Thy presence again today to thank Thee for Thy Son, to thank Thee for His condescending grace, for His perfect life while here upon the scenes of earth. But we thank Thee most of all for Calvary, for it was there that they crucified Him. He was the one who loved us unto death, even the shameful and ignominious death of the cross. And Father, we pray Thy blessing today wherever Christ is being preached. May it please Thee even now to those who are listening in outside of Christ to this radio broadcast. Father, pluck them as brands from the burning. Honor afresh Thy Son and Thy Word. Save souls, for we ask it in His name. Amen. friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel radio broadcast. But I can't help but think there may be someone out in Radio Land today, and the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is pleading with you to accept Him as your own and personal Savior. Friend, please don't put it off. Every indication in the world today points to the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, not one prophecy need be fulfilled before the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the air to claim from the world His own. And friend, if you're not saved when the Lord Jesus Christ comes or when you die, you'll be left behind for divine judgment. Yes, for all eternity, you'll weep and wail and grind your teeth throughout those endless ages. So friend, please don't put it off. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today and know the joy of sin forgiven and life eternal. Now, if you'd like to have some good sound and basic and fundamental gospel tracts, I'll be only too glad to send them to you, absolutely free and postpaid. You just send your name to the Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134, and I'll send these tracts out to you, absolutely free. Now, friends, if you'd also like to have a cassette tape of this broadcast today, I'll be only too happy to send it to you, too. Here again, it's absolutely free, postpaid, without obligation of any kind. Yes, I'll send you a cassette tape not only containing today's message, but also another one-half-hour radio gospel message on the other side of the tape. You know, Christian friends, sometimes an unsaved person will listen to a taped message in the comfort and privacy of their own home, and yet they would never go to a gospel meeting when requested to do so by their Christian friends or relatives. So I might add, too, that at the present time, these tapes are being sent to every continent on earth, and God is blessing them. Yes, souls have been reached and saved. And I might add, too, that they're being sent without cost or obligation to those requesting them. Yes, God has been pleased to bless His Word, and we claim His promise that His Word shall not return void. So, friend, if you'd like to have a cassette tape with 2 one-half-hour gospel messages on it, just write and request it, and you'll receive it, as I say, without cost, and it'll be postpaid. Just write to the Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania. That's McKeesport, P.A., 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, P.A., 15134. Now, until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Good day.